as the medical professionals, scientists and politicians, as well as the rest of us, deal with a human health emergency, farmers and growers continue to produce our food. The so-called farm-to-fork journey is sometimes brief and very straightforward when the food is sold via local farm shops or butchers, but some markets are thousands of miles away. In today's podcast, I'm talking to a couple of people who work to put British produce on the tables in front of families as far away as China. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening to this AHDB podcast. Let's just turn to Holly Chen now. So Holly is the AHDB representative, or at least represents levy payers' interests in China. Hi, Holly. Thanks for joining us. Where in the world are you? What's the time difference?
Well, I'm based in Beijing, and we're 7 hours ahead of UK now.
I guess it's the end of a long working day, so thank you very much for joining us now and sparing the time to do this. So, Holly, what is it that you do for AHDB levy payers?
You know, my job here is to help levy payers, you know, understand the market and build the contacts with Chinese importers, you know, traders and trade associations, and facilitate with, you know, any in-market events such as trade shows and products, you know, promotions. And in this market, I keep regular contacts with our counterparts, you know, from other countries, like those from Australia, from New Zealand and USA. And I'm also, you know, in regular contact with, you know, a British government, like British Embassy, you know, consulates.
But you don't work for AHDB, do you?
I do work for AHDB, but based within CBBC, which is China Britain Business Council office in Beijing.
Oh, okay, I understand. Okay, so so let's just talk a little bit about, obviously I've described the fact that there's the coronavirus pandemic here, as our levy payers are more than aware, but we also know that you've had a lot of experience of dealing with this in China. How has the coronavirus impacted you?
This, you know, pandemic means that we can't travel, we can't eat out, and we can't organize events and can't meet with industry contacts. It also means that we must wear face masks at all times when we go out. This includes going in, you know, shopping in the supermarkets, going into the banks and taking the tube, going into the office buildings. It is okay in winter, you know, springtime, but it's going to be a very challenging in the summer when it's so warm and humid here in Beijing and in other parts of the country. It's kind of like 38 to 40 degrees centigrade, you know, in July and August time. So it sounds like, you know, coronavirus is not going to kill us, but, you know, the whole summer, you know, together with the masks, you know, it's going to be really challenging for us.
There are lots of discussions here about whether the government will insist on or recommend face masks being worn in the future. So that's interesting to hear your experiences. China is ahead of us in terms of dealing with the pandemic. And from what I read, the restrictions have been lifted. Is that true with you in Beijing?
Well, the restrictions, you know, still some restrictions, you know. So we still need to wear, you know, face masks, and we still need to get temperature measured, you know, when we go into any buildings. And we still need to get, you know, temperature measured when we go back home. So there's a kind of entrance to our, you know, residential blocks. And every time you go in and out, and you need to show your pass, and you need to get your temperature measured. And going into, you know, like restaurants, temperature measured, and you need to sit apart, you know, for eating in. So still a lot of restrictions. I mean, lockdown, you know, is lifted, but still restrictions in place to make sure, you know, people are safe.
People often draw some comparisons between coronavirus and SARS. And I think it was 2003 when SARS was present in China. Did you experience SARS? Have you been able to make a comparison between the two?
Well, I think, you know, from the information, you know, I read on the news, that coronavirus is more kind of infectious than SARS. So it spread quickly and caused more problems. I remember during SARS in Beijing back in 2003, I mean, if I remembered correctly, you know, because I don't always, you know, trust my memory now because I'm getting old. You know, but at that time, there weren't so many restrictions. So we still go to work, but we worked on flexible hours in office, and there was no compulsory rules on wearing face masks and measuring the temperatures. And schools, I remember, because I, you know, when I talked to some of my colleagues, you know, in the office when the corona, you know, virus started, and schools were closed for a short period of time and reopened, you know, fairly quickly, because the SARS was under control in about 2 months, and it looks like, you know, coronavirus is going to be with us a lot longer than that.
Now, Jono told us that obviously one of the biggest products in terms of tonnage that's exported to China from Britain are pork products. There are thousands of tons that are exported every year. Now, I'm thinking that in China, you've also recently been experiencing problems with ASF, with African swine fever in pork, and that's had a devastating effect on the national herd. Has that meant that pork in China has become expensive and difficult to obtain, and so in a very sad way, this has become very good for British exports?
ASF has affected, you know, pork production in this country, you know, significantly. You know, like total production in 2019, you know, dropped by 21% than that of 2018. As pork, you know, has been the main animal protein source for many years in, you know, in our market. And pork consumption accounts for over about 60% of total meat consumption. So this drop in production and the shortage in supply means pork is a lot more expensive than it used to be. You know, for example, you know, before ASF outbreak, pork belly, you know, was about RMB 40 to 50 per kilo. That was about 6 pounds. And the industry insiders said the shortage in supply will remain until the second half of 2021. And this presents good opportunities to our exporters who have been working closely with their importers to supply this market.
And Holly, pork has become expensive. It's clearly a dish that is very much appreciated by the Chinese people. Is it a big seller in restaurants? And actually, on that point, are restaurants back to normal now after coronavirus?
Restaurants are gradually opening here, but I don't think, you know, they are back to normal yet, because as we discussed, there's still a lot of you know, restrictions. And a lot of people are still concerned about potential risks of eating out. And there's also, you know, rules, you know, on sitting apart, you know, when you eat in, you know, in the restaurants. And also, you know, recently, just last week, there was a, you know, kind of report cases in Beijing that a family of three was taken away for quarantine, as they have been in close contact with confirmed cases when shopping. So there are a lot of you know, concerns. And there's also reports in other parts of the country. So people became more kind of careful about what they do and cut down their, you know, visits to restaurants and shopping centers, etc. So, I mean, for this sector, you know, has suffered a lot. And many of them are facing the challenge of reducing staff numbers. And some of them may even close the business, you know, in the future. So, you know, depends on the development of coronavirus. It might get better, or let's just hope, you know, they will survive.
Yeah, I can understand. These are very troubling times.
Yeah, really difficult times for everybody.
Yes, and I suppose not only for people, but for the economy as well, because I was reading, and if this is accurate or not, you perhaps can tell me, but I understand the economy has shrunk by something like 6%. That must be a concern as well.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, this is correct. You know, this is the information released by our government last week. But I mean, to be honest, we're still confident, you know, with the future, with the economy. And the recent report says that over 80% of business have now resumed work. And also, you know, central government is planning to roll out, you know, a stronger stimulus package to boom the economy. So although, you know, we have some, you know, problems and some challenges, but we are still positive, confident with our economy and with the future of our country.
Oh, Holly, I'm so pleased that you're so optimistic for the future, and thank you very much for joining us and sharing your story. Jonathan Eckley is the head of market development for AHDB in the Asia Pacific region. He joins me from his home near Stoneleigh in Warwickshire. So, Jono, how important is it that we have a slice of the market in China? And tell us a little bit about the quantities and the products that are being exported.
It's really important, John, that we have a slice of that market. It's obviously the largest consumer base in the world. It's not all about the number of population over there, but it's about the purchasing power they have. China's become more open to trade over the last decade. And as the population has moved to a more urban base away from the land, demand for imported protein has obviously increased. Since 2010, China has seen a near fivefold increase in the amount of beef and lamb it imports. In 2019, for example, they imported just over 5 million tonnes. In 2019, our pork exports surpassed 130,000 tonnes for the first time. And it's really important to add value to the sector here in the UK that we can have that market, particularly for cuts that have little or no value here in the UK and closer to home. And they attract a value over there. And with global shipping being reasonably competitive, it adds a lot of value to the sector here.
And I mean, do you want to give us a couple of examples, perhaps, of the products that don't have any value at home but do have a value in China?
Yeah, I mean, things like, I mean, pork trotters are a delicacy in China. We're slaughtering, you know, 10, 11 million pigs a year here. So that's an awful lot of trotters to dispose of. And even if pork trotters, you know, can become trendy in some niche markets here in the UK, for the volume trade, China's certainly a winner for the sector with those, for example.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so and when did Britain first get a sort of a foothold in the Chinese market? And you know, when was the British meat going onto the tables there?
Let me start with pork, John, because we've had access to the Chinese market for pork since 2011. Equivalence was reached on our standard so we could start shipping, and commercial shipments started in earnest in 2012. China soon became our biggest market in terms of volume, and is now also our biggest market in value. AHDB has worked with the pork export community here to help build a reputation as a supplier of quality produce produced to exacting standards in our supply chain. By 2016, shipments to China surpassed 70,000 tonnes for British pork exporters. Dynamics have changed over recent years. 2017, we thought was a tough year in China, but we managed to increase our exports marginally. 2018 was a year of two halves. The first year was particularly challenging. And then the outbreak of ASF in China in the second half of the year saw demand for imported products increase, and by the end of the year, we'd increased our shipments by 12%. 2019 was a particularly strong year as ASF bit the domestic production over there, and our exports from the UK increased to over 130,000 tonnes. Coronavirus obviously arrived in China much earlier than here, and undoubtedly that's brought some challenges since the start of the year. However, the latest data we have for shipments from the UK to China show that there was actually a 40% increase in the first 2 months of this year, in January and February, and 23,000 tonnes of British pork was destined for China in that period.
I wonder that although you're grounded at the moment because of coronavirus, I imagine the work still goes on and exports are continuing?
They certainly are, John. So, yeah, in that period in January and February, when restrictions were in place in China, that did bring some logistical challenges as people were in lockdown and congestion at the ports was slowed down because people weren't working. But as the early indication of data for the first 2 months of the year shows, shipments were still pretty strong as demand was high for the product. Coronavirus, you know, it's a global challenge, and it's likely to see changes both in supply in a number of countries and also demand around the world. But as you say, in terms of the activity, the team has had to be dynamic and refocus a little bit because we've lost a lot of activity, particularly in Asia, where trade shows form a key part of our role. We do a number of trade shows in, whether it be China and also further afield in Japan. Now, we've lost all of that activity this year. Those trade shows, they're really focused for us on the food industry. So Siao China would be our biggest piece of activity there that has been postponed till later in the year. In the meantime, the team's had to work really hard, both here from the Stoneleigh headquarters through to Holly in Beijing, to maintain our contact with all the key stakeholders in the supply chain, be it exporters here in the UK or importers and distributors in China. It's really important that we maintain that engagement with the trade from the UK sector. It's a really competitive world out there. And if AHDB and our stakeholders don't maintain that contact, we might lose some ground. So it's really important we keep pushing that. Our export strategy has also been more focused in recent months on actually moving more towards a digital platform. So we've had to refocus that work and continue to work on that to make that happen as the year progresses. And just the last thing on that, I guess, as many of you will know, doing business in Asia, it's all about relationships. It's about that one-to-one contact. Now, we obviously can't do that face-to-face at trade shows at the moment, but it's really important that we all continue to work hard and have those conversations on online platforms and telephone and maintain that contact to maintain the position as the UK as a supplier of quality produce.
Jono, once the restrictions are lifted, which Holly was telling us about, there's a gradual lifting and a return to normal. But I would imagine that you'll want to return to business as usual as fast as possible. But what's going on in the meantime?
Yes, John. So yeah, under normal circumstances, me and the team, we'd spend a significant amount of time out in market. And I can assure you, my wife really doesn't know what to do with me while I'm here 24/7. So we're keen to get back in front of people. But in the meantime, we must continue to work on this strategy of doing some more online work to maintain the reputation of the UK as a supplier. You know, I've got colleagues all say, and that's the same for other markets, be it closer to home or across the Atlantic in the USA. As we look to the future, you know, I'm sure the online digital space will be really important, nowhere more importantly than China, who's had great uptake of mobile devices and using online platforms. So in the meantime, we can continue to develop our strategy and work with partners and find partners in market to help us use those platforms, to exploit them, to showcase what we have to offer. Another area that's key to be worked on is maintaining market access. It's really important that UK sectors for both beef, lamb and pork have as access to many markets as possible. While we currently only have access for pork into China, we are close to gaining access to beef, and we're supporting government in finalising the arrangements for the export health certificate for beef, and also maintaining momentum on gaining access for lamb, which will be important going forward. While coronavirus will undoubtedly raise many challenges, both in the short term and probably longer term as well, on global export markets as they shift and change, AHDB will continue to help the sector achieve its ambitions in those markets. And China is no exception to that and will continue to push to do that.
Thanks to Jono and to Holly Chen, who joined us from Beijing. Please do keep doing all that you're doing to help farmers get their produce as a really great part of the Chinese takeaway. My thanks to Jenny Waddington for the research and podcast editor Aisha Shabnam. Keep safe, keep well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.